Caught in a trap.
The only real game, I think, in the world. Baseball.
You have this also on Bandcamp as well?
Mm-hmm. And that one's free, actually. So Heart Rolled is free.
Okay.
Because it was just, yeah.
All right. And all right. So, yeah, what was the reception like on the second one? The Heart Floor.
Heart Rolled. I mean, it was good. It was not as like, because I didn't push it as much either, right? I didn't have any merch for it. I was just like, in my brain, made it, had it. I was like, okay, this is what it's going to be. I'll just like put it out for free. A couple people pay a couple extra bucks, which is always a delight. Yes. People downloaded it, listened to it. Some kid, I think he might, I don't know if he heard it from Spotify or Bandcamp. He spelt it wrong too, which is easy to do, which is funny, but he's just like, oh, hey, I heard this album of yours and I love it. Just want to let you know, just keep at it. And I was like, thanks, like 16-year-old boy. Great. I will keep at it.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you. I think he was in Canada. I just kind of like looked him up and checked to see what.
It's funny, you and I we joke about that, but because of our backgrounds and different people that we know and that we talk to within the music industry, and especially with you with like small film animation and comedy and everything.
Yeah.
When someone gives you a compliment, you're like, what?
Why would you give me a compliment? I never get those.
I get crapped on by everybody I know. What are you
doing? Yeah, exactly. You're a stranger. Why would you be kind to me? Like friends and family don't even want to hear my music.
Yeah. Why are you supporting me? Yeah. Keep at it. Just like, I will, I think. I don't, you know. It's just weird that you and I would react that way laughing. But it's like, it's nice to hear that someone goes, oh, you know what? This is good, man. Keep at it. Because we do take a lot of criticism. From others, which is some of it's healthy, but there's also that self-criticism and doubt where it's when you get halfway through something, you just go, oh no, this isn't, no.
Yeah.
And it's actually really good. And you're just like, no.
Yeah. Like, no, I'm tired or I've seen it. Like I'm tired of it. Seen it, heard it 1,000 times. Like it can't be good. Even though you once had like this spark or whatever. Yeah.
Thank you.
ever run into that where you're because I know I've watched interviews and read articles on certain comedians and filmmakers and even musicians where they tend not to listen to other people do stuff because they're afraid they're going to rip it off.
Like, yeah, I get that. You know? Yeah, like yeah, that makes sense. I think I used to fear that a little more, but then I kind of like just learning who I am. Even just like doing, I really learned that in doing comedy.
Right.
Or like, I'd say to other comedians, be like, ah, you know, like sometimes I'm worried about this, and they're like, and most people were just like, you don't have to worry about that. Like, I've seen your stuff. Like, you're
sure.
Like, even if I'm talking about the same thing, I'm doing it in my own way. So I'm not too worried. And even if it happens, like if I do something and it's like, whoa, that's exactly like this person, you're ripping that off. Then it's just like, okay, I guess I got to drop that. Like, I guess onto the next step. Like, all right, then that's not mine anymore. I can always make something new. Like,
yeah. That's funny that you say that. I can always make something new, but it just seems like everything has been said and done before. Like,
oh, it has.
But it's like that running joke, just like Simpsons did it and the Simpsons did it. Simpsons predicted this and the Simpsons did it. It's like it's that whole
comparison. Oh, yeah. South Park, I think,
had that. Yeah, South Park was just like, oh, they were right. You know, it's like they everything was really hard for them to do to be creative to a point.
Well, even then, it's like Shakespeare did it. You know, like in the end, it's just like there's these archetypes. Like everything is just like we're all inspired by the same thing.
Right. Yeah. So there's that trying to figure out that you're not stepping all over someone else's material, that sort of thing, whether it be art, comedy, music, that sort of thing. So, and that's where it's also a strange thing from what you do as well, because it comes from sampling.
Yeah.
And when sampling started, it, like, especially I remember because I'm a bit older than you. I remember when they were like, you know, when sampling was starting in regards to other people's songs, and then people were using those beats and singing different lyrics over. I remember I was just, and everyone was buying the music, and I was like, oh, Puff Daddy's great. He's this. I'm going, no, but that's Zeppelin.
Yeah.
You know, and in Zeppelin getting money for that, you know, like I didn't know.
Well, are old blues musicians getting money from Zeppelin?
But to use Zeppelin as an example, it's like, oh, that band ripped off all these blues musicians.
Yeah.
Later.
Yeah.
So I think holding Puff to a higher standard than the one is kind of wrong in that aspect.
I think a lot, I mean, like, I won't say much on it, but I especially think on sampling and hip hop, a lot of that is a race thing. Like, especially in that era, like a lot of that is like, they're like, oh, well, yeah, Led Zeppelin stole from like poor black people, but that's Zeppelin, you know, they rock. Right. But then if like, you know, poor black people are trying to make money, or even not poor anymore, right, they're making progress, they're moving, like the whole 90s hip hop thing. Like, I don't know, sampling, it seems like a lot of white people are like, no, you can't do that. Oh, these guys, yeah, they can do it.
It's okay. But and that was just like getting to where I was going with this is that now, everything's sampled off of everything else. Yeah. Like there's so much sampling that it's this whole, you're accustomed to it. Like, well, yeah, well, whatever. And even now where it's just like auto-tune. Oh, everything's auto-tuned.
Yeah.
Just like,
I mean, auto-tune.
And it's okay now.
Yeah. And that's like, now it's normal. But that's the thing. It's like, you have to go through those things where it's like, oh, that's stupid and weird. And then eventually someone's like, wow, I'm used to it now. Now I like it. Like, I used to not, you know, not be into auto-tune, and now I understand it as an instrument, right? Like, auto-tune is supposed to be an instrument. It can be overdone. It can be too much. But at the same time, if you use it well, it's great.
Thank you.
I just find it interesting this because you, what you do creatively, you kind of touch upon all these different things, from sampling a spoken word part to something you've heard, to another beat, to changing things. And I don't know, consciously, if I was doing that, I was thinking to myself, if I had to go through all of that stuff, I would be always going, okay, does it sound like that? Oh, they're going to know that I took it from there. Wait, no, that's okay, because that was sampled off of something else. And even to the point where I'm starting to think, should he be putting copyright below everything he's doing? And like, because you want to give people credit.
Yeah. Sometimes it becomes too much.
Well, yeah.
Because and it's like, so Mad Lib, I guess, would do this, the one producer, and he would just like, you know, he just samples and all that stuff, and he just takes everything. And he now that he has, they have enough money to do it, but he just has like a team then looking through like all, like he doesn't even like write down his samples. It's just like, okay, pass it over to someone else, and then they look through it to see what they might get sued for.
It's like going through an essay old style.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. It's plagiarism. Like, oh, okay.
Right,
this is get away with this, you know.
Yeah, you have someone to read through your essay, and then all of a sudden you hand it to your prof, and then the prof goes, okay, I have to give you a zero on this. Like, well, why? I said, well, you left the citation from Wikipedia that you cut and pasted it off of. Like, if you're gonna cheat, let's cheat properly.
Like, well, and I think that's with like sampling and looping and all that stuff. It's like, if you're gonna cheat, like, do it well, you know. Yeah. Like, if you're, that's the thing, if you're gonna take an old like sweet ass like 50s, you know, doo-wop song and just add drums to it, it better be fun. Like, it better be a banger. Yeah. Right. Like, even and even then, sometimes now people just get like songs get more money or revisited because they're like, oh, what's this, what's that sample, right? Like, what was that movie now, you know, like now people don't talk about it, but Baby Driver, they took all of the originals that were like original songs that were originally like popular sample songs.
Oh, it was the kid with the headphones and
kids with the headphones. And then, and then, like, Kevin Spacey, the old pervert. I mean, I don't think he's supposed to be a pervert in that.
Okay, I don't think we're gonna get sued for saying that. I think it's pretty much copyrighted that he is an old pervert.
Yeah, he's the only old pervert. He's the only old white pervert.
Well, he's not being sued by Bill Cosby just yet, but I'm pretty sure.
That's a race thing.
Harvey Weinstein might want it. The human skin tag might want some money from him. You know. So.
Hey, that's my thing.
That was my thing. I coined that. Yeah. Okay. Yes, Harv. Stay
Different pervs. That's right. Yeah. That again, right? They're doing their own. Yeah.
Stay in jail, you awful human being. Right. Okay, so you released that tape, and you know, it was the leftover kind of stuff. And
yeah.
How do we get to the F tapes? Like, what is this project? Because it was, you are part of a massive mix.
Yeah, it's just like a big mix of beat makers. And so I heard about, am I supposed to just call it F-tapes?
I just say F-tapes. If you call it for what it is, I'll just bleep it.
Okay, F-tapes is what it's called.
Bleep.
A little slow.
Sorry.
It's great. I heard about it through, I don't know, there was like another beat maker that I don't know, but I saw some of his stuff and I liked it, so I followed him. And I think I learned about him through a label that I liked, and I learned about that label through a rapper. I like Serengeti. He's from like Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
They have like general like submissions. And so one time they were just like, give us your weirdest beat. And I was like, and I looked through, I was like, I think this one is my weird, like could qualify as one of my weirder beats, yet, you know, still understandable. And it's just made using old CBC radio recordings that someone else recorded and I bought off them. It was like $5-$10 for like just this huge box. Cool. Of like self-recorded tape, which is what I love. I don't even like tapes are great, but I love when someone once recorded something, because then you're like, what did they like? Oh, they recorded all of these CBC programs, and most of them are just like this. I think it was folk. It's a lot of folk, so it's actually really hard to sample, because it was like Irish ditties and folk.
And that's the cut that you sent them in.
Yeah, it's just like, because that was just a mishmash. And for a while, there was a couple years ago, I'd try to like create a three-act structure with each beat. So it's like there would be like weird changes. Or in my brain, I would come up with the idea of a three-act structure, even though it was kind of abstract.
Mm-hmm.
And that was one of those kind of during that time. But they accepted and they were like, yeah.
Me?
Stammered Bernard.
But I'm only...
Oh, come on. You'll make a perfectly wonderful agent.
Standing by the roadside, disguised as lady fortune tellers...
Thank you.
having you said that, my brain automatically thinks that, well, you know, you sent that cut into them. They enjoyed it. You have an understanding of what they wanted. And, you know, does this open up a door for you to do another one with other locals that that do similar things to you? Like, hey, let's put a comp out. And let's work on a 20-minute mix, that sort of thing.
I mean, not really. Not that I know of. I mean, that'd be nice.
I love that. I love the fact that I opened a doorway for you to say, I would really like to work with other people, Gunnar. Oh, my God. The creative process is so good. And you said, no, not really.
I'm not saying no. Like, I'm saying,
dude, to me, honestly,
that didn't open up another door. Because those are people from all over the world. Which
I know. But if we were to actually show your reaction, right? And that you're all laughing and smiling, but you went, no.
Because in my brain is just like a thing I submitted. I put it into, hopefully some people like it, they listen to it. I mean, locally, I would always love to be part of things. I love making things and doing things, but I'm such a introvert, and I'm not often looking for, which is something I need to learn to do, but I'm not looking for opportunity as much as I think a lot of other people are. Right. I like it. I like opportunity. I like when I get it. And I like when I understand it, but I don't, it's like, I'm not as like, I gotta be famous.
Right.
Or whatever. Like, I gotta get this shit so the world's gotta hear my shit. I'm like, well, I hope they like it when they hear it. I'll always make stuff and I'll always put it out. And if I can get it into other people's hands, I'm so happy to.
Yeah, I joke with you, but it's kind of funny though, because from all the mutual friends that we have and people that both of us worked with on different things, and there's always that when you listen to something on a whole, you can't say it because you go, I can't believe that made the cut. I said, why is this here? Like, this isn't what I agreed to. Like, this is weak. How do I tell them that this
is
weak?
How do I, in a friendly manner, say I don't like this?
This isn't your, I've heard better from you.
Yeah. It's like, I know you're better than
me. Yeah. Right. Cause we both heard those things growing up in life. It's just like, yeah, I'm going to give you a C on this, but the last couple stuff that you handed in was like A material.
All A's. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, why would you do this now? And then I just looked them right in the face and just go, I really didn't have it in me to do this. So a friend of mine did it. I just took his. So I'll take the C and leave.
Yeah.
Just like, I've lost my ability to care at this point as much as others have in this project, you know? So great. Now I've made us out to be both dicks.
Oh, well, I'm sure that people understood that right out the gate.
Anyone that knows us will understand the humor in all of this, but it does lend to the conversation about, as you say, hey, I want to work with people, but it doesn't really matter because I have to, it's all for me up here anyway. So.
Yeah. I'm like, I'm always going to do it. I mean, it is for, you know, like, I always get confused, I guess, when I see people like, I do this for the fans, and I'm like, I don't do anything for, I mean, I got a handful of fans and admirers or whatever, but it's like, I'm not doing that. If I was doing this for the fans, I wouldn't be making weird beat takes. I would be making like some of my weird rap stuff, or I'd just make silly raps. If I wanted to appease the masses, I would just make silly raps and be like a Bo Burnham knockoff or something like that. Right. Which is what people want. I've been compared to him, depending on the day, depending on the person.
Yeah.
Or, you know, somebody once compared me to the Beastie Boys and the Bloodhound Gang, you know? And it's like, I guess, yeah, at the same time, there are times when I'm like that, but, and that's it. It's like, if I was doing this for other people, I would just be a shill, you know? I'd just be like, okay, I'll make more silly songs about this and then I'll die of depression or something. Instead, I'll make depressing songs and die of exhaustion.
Die of exhaustion. What do you got coming up next?
What do I got? I have so many damn beats on my desktop. So there's like albums that I make some beats and I put them over here. I am working on like another rap album, and it's just, I have a folder of songs that I am currently rapping to, practicing, understanding if I like them and enjoy them, if they're the correct way to go. And if I do them, if I practice them 1,000 times and on 1,001, if I don't like it, tuck it into another folder, and that folder will be the B-sides of that album, which will just probably be beats, or those are also sometimes beats that I can sell, because there are beats that are sampled that I can't fully sell. Like I say, these are sampled, so just so you know, you can't like do this. There are also beats that I make where I do make like the full, I make all the instruments or whatever, like, you know, I play the piano on it, basically, a weird keyboard, and then sample myself. So those ones I can sell with more, you know, less copyright issues. And I always have to make a mental note for those. And so now, so I have like the album I'm working on, the B-sides, and then I have other weird beat tapes that I don't want to release because I don't like to go, I like to go album, beat tape, but generally it goes like album, B-sides, and that. So there's a flow to it. And you can only release so many tapes a year. Your friends are only going to buy so many of your tapes a year. You can't, I can't be releasing, you know, 3 albums a year on cassette, because all the people who buy my cassettes will be like, eh, I already own 5. You know, I already got his other ones this year. I got to make them hard to get.
Tapping the market. You're tapping the market.
Yeah. I am. That's it. It's just, I got a monopoly on my friends who will buy tapes. My name is Devin Bateson. You can check out my music at Devin Bateson Bandcamp. You can check me out on Instagram. It's probably under the same name. You can go to my website, www.devinbateson.com. I'm on Twitter. I'm on Facebook. Don't ever message me. No, you can message me if you want.
Oh, England of Cornwall in the year 1806. Villagers came down on the shoreline. The news had spread through the village and the ship was in trouble just off the coast. Watching sons and fathers and brothers go down to the ship called the Anson.
Thank you. hear things. Hear things.
Hamilton's escarpment, 101.5 The Hawk.
You're listening to Steel City Music.
Ooh, 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 ooh. Does that ever bring back some memories? Junior Boys right there for you in the morning. Hey, it's Gunner, and you're hanging out on Steel City Music. In this hour, a lot of dancey style tracks, different stuff, just because earlier I was reminiscing about I Say Disco, You Say Punk and that whole time era back in the day at the Club Absinthe doing the live to airs and all the other fun stuff and some of the great music that we spun. So in this first part of the set, you are going to hear some Daft Punk around the world. David's project, which was Dave Dunham out of Hamilton, Ontario. You knew him from Chore. He's been in a lot of different projects. So I thought I would spin Buried in a Cocaine for you. And also two from Justice, Dance, and also starting things off. Two from Justice, Dance, and Genesis, but starting things off. Here we go. Not in Love, the Crystal Castles track featuring Robert Smith. The old Platinum Blonde song. It's awesome.
I saw your picture hanging on the back of my door.